Blog Talk Radio.
Michigan Prep to Pros. Appreciate everybody tuning in here on MichiganPrepToPros.com. Of course, if you are listening live and you don't catch the whole thing, you can hear us archived on blogtalkradio.com/MichiganPrepToPros. All that fun stuff. Check us out on Facebook. Check us out on Twitter and on my Prep to Pros. We're starting to roll everything out. I'm Jerry Mack in here with Nick Candela.
What's up?
And it is the Mack and Candela Show.
Try. I love opening up the show with that Fred Bear song by Ted Nugent, especially in the heart of hunting season right now.
Yeah.
Everyone out there in the woods. Hopefully you guys had a good weekend. And others, I don't want to date the show too much, but we got a little bit
you
of time
up, right?
left.
You
yeah.
Went
I went out, enjoyed some time in the woods, froze my keister off and,
got to get better boots.
Yeah. I got to get better boots.
It's all about
that.
It's all about good boots, man. If you don't have good boots, you can't survive out there.
That's right.
Got to take care of your feet.
Hand warmers were key. But, you know, we saw a little bit of action. Some friends of mine went up there. They actually got a deer this morning after I left, or this afternoon. So congrats out to them. Shout out to Skintone Crown out there listening live up from northern Michigan. Appreciate that.
Did you guys get any snow up there this weekend?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got actually have a – it's pretty funny. I was sitting in my tree blind – or I'm sorry, in my ground blind, and I'm taking pictures of when I first get there. I take a picture. Everything's – you know, green or brown, you know, the grass is all on there. About an hour in, I take another picture. There's about a quarter inch. Another little while later, I take another picture, and we're just covered in white. It was unbelievable. It was 70 degrees Friday. Saturday morning, it's, you know, 30 degrees, windy, and snowing all over the place.
I had to drive out to the west side of the state. I was in Battle Creek this past weekend for
Serial City, USA.
The, yes. In fact, I was at the Kellogg Center. I was there. It was the MHSAA volleyball state finals taking place this past weekend.
Very cool.
Obviously, fall sports are coming to an end this week with football finals getting ready to happen at Ford Field. But they had the MHSAA volleyball finals taking place this past weekend, Friday and Saturday, at the Kellogg Center. And, you know, I wasn't too sure what to expect, especially – you know, this is actually this past weekend was the weekend last year where the regional finals were played. And if you remember that regional final weekend, it was that blizzard. It was that snowstorm.
Oh, yeah,
that was,
the first,
you know, like
snow.
8 inches of snow before all the games
like
even
what's
started.
Happening on the East Coast right now.
Right. And then they even got like another 2 inches, 3 inches of snow in some area while the games were being played. So, you know, I know that weekend last year was regional weekend. I wasn't too sure what to expect driving out to the west side of the state because it always seems to hit over there and
up
north
before
even. Once
you get near Lake Michigan, man, the weather just changes on you.
But it wasn't too bad. It was a smooth ride. We got a little bit of snow on the way home. I got through Ann Arbor before that whole storm that hit Michigan where Ann Arbor for that the end of that Michigan Indiana game.
Right.
I was ahead of that. I was in front of that, so I didn't really have to deal with it. But it seemed like it came in quick in certain areas. So I mean, I get what you're saying. And 15 minutes later, you know, and that's the crazy thing about the woods. I mean,
doubt.
I mean, if you've hunted before, it is quite easy to fall
or
asleep
spend
in
any
those
time
woods, right?
Outdoors and in
yeah,
the
it's
woods,
easy to
you know,
fall
camping.
Asleep out there. You know, it's relaxing and all that stuff.
Quiet, nice and dark.
That can be scary, man. Like if you're hunting and everything is just trees and you know your landscape is pre-winter and then all of a sudden you wake up and, or all of a sudden you know you just realize
winter
like
wonderland
man nothing ever looks the same like it's completely different.
Yeah.
I was laughing about that with one of my buddies. He was out near the West Branch area.
Yeah.
But same thing, he was like, dude, he was like, he was hunting solo. Which I probably
state
wouldn't
land,
do
private land
private land
okay but, this is private land
yeah 40 acres though You know, so
yeah,
I mean, it's
when this where we were at.
Yeah. You know, it's a good chunk size chunk of land. But I mean, he was telling me, he was like, man, I was kind of nervous out there by myself being solo this year. And I mean, I don't blame him.
Yeah, you don't want to go out solo if you're going to be up in a tree or something. I mean, those ladder stands can be, especially the wind we had this weekend. Yeah, I know you're going to be harnessed in, but when that tree moves, with it.
I hope you're smart enough to be harnessed in.
Yeah, if you're out there,
not, you're a
solo.
Dumb dumb. Look, I don't care if I offend anybody. If you're up in a tree stand and you're not harnessed in, you're a dumb dumb.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially if you're riding solo, at least have some kind of point of contact. Be smart out there.
Right, safety first, everybody.
We had a good time.
Good. Good. All right, so we do have a good show lined up today. We had some headlines happen this week, obviously with the Pistons moving downtown, making the announcement this afternoon.
That's
so
official.
You know, we can discuss that. Notre Dame joining the list of shame as well. It was also announced today that they will be vacating some wins over the course of a couple of seasons there.
2012-13 and 13-14, I believe.
Yep. We're going to, of course, we start off our show each and every week with the Prep Spotlight. And this week, it'll be the MHSAA football finals preview. And I do want to talk about a little bit what happened over the weekend as well. Obviously, we had some local teams playing. Both their seasons coming to an end, Utica Eisenhower and Romeo. Utica Eisenhower losing to Cass Tech late in the game. There was a little bit of controversy there too. We had to get a look from everybody's cell phone that happened to be there. Romeo fell short against Catholic Central in their rematch. Yeah, so it'll be Catholic Central, Cass Tech in Division I. Romeo and Eisenhower, their seasons are officially done. But congratulations to all those teams, and hats off to Romeo and Eisenhower.
Yeah, great season.
Nothing to be upset about. Semifinal appearance, you know, talking to a bunch of old buddies from Eisenhower and alum, you know, I know a lot of them were hoping to change that streak of semifinal appearances and, you know, get back to the Dome and win one as well. But the Eagles might have to wait another year.
Yeah, they're bringing back a quarterback who's fantastic. He's going to have a great senior year. I got a feeling his recruitment stock is only going to increase starting now. He's going to be talked about for probably from July through November again next year. So
definitely.
Eisenhower's got they're losing a couple people on defense, but they're going to be solid next year.
I know. I've been driving the work people up a wall over there at State Champs. You know, they do that Hungry Howie's Mr. Football Award. And,
yeah.
I have been politicking hard for Mr. Max over the past few weeks.
Getting
to try
Mac
and,
love?
Yeah. You know, I've got to push the Mac agenda.
How many Brother Rice Warriors are on their list so far?
None this year. None this year. I believe the last one to win it, though, is was Alex Malzone.
Yeah.
I believe he did win the Mr. Football Award, but. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. It was Catholic Central week this week, though. Catholic Central and Cass Tech. Seems like everybody got what they wanted. You know, I was joking around with one of the writers at State Champs. You know, he had posted with his game article from the Cass Tech Eisenhower game, and it just saying everybody kind of got what they wanted, and Cass Tech and CC were the two heavy favorites going into this
year. And
they're
two fantastic teams, probably two
well
of deserving. The best.
You know, and any one of those four teams in Division I were definitely well deserving of going to the state finals. But, you know, I think this is a dream matchup for most of Southeast Michigan and people who follow Division I. Obviously, with our hometown bias, you know, it would have been nice to see one of those Macomb Area Conference teams representing in the state finals once again. What I think in the last how many years Macomb Area Conference has represented?
We had
the
stat before. Yeah, it was something like at least one Macomb County team has been there, and you know, majority of the last 10 years.
Yeah,
whether in Division I or Division II. You know, Eisenhower since 2001. Eisenhower's been there four times. Chippewa's got one. Dakota's got two. Stevenson was there. Romeo's won one.
Yeah. They've been making some noise. They've been playing some good football and representing strong. You know, it's crazy though. The football season's already over. I mean, what we've got Michigan, Ohio State coming up this
week.
I know, man. It just seems like football season's got to slow down, man. You know, baseball season. I love baseball too, but you know that.
Yeah,
you know,
long ways from April and May, my friend.
And when April hits, like you're gearing up for that marathon, right? I mean, that bad boy. darn near last 7 months, right? It just seems like football is just in and out of here, right? In the regular season, even in college football. I mean, this is it.
I know.
We're going into one more week. I think there's going to be a week 14 that
Army, Navy.
Right, those type of games. And then the following week will be conference championships, I believe, and all that. And then it'll be, you know, bowl games, which there will be a lot of football on, yeah, which is cool. But it's, you know, you'll have to wait a month to see Michigan, or
right,
you'll have to wait another year to see Michigan State play once their season wraps up this week against Penn State. But,
yeah,
you know,
Notre Dame, you know, just to top off what we kind of said in our highlights, nice way to top off a good season there, Irish.
You know,
we've lost. We didn't lose enough this season. Let's take some losses in seasons prior.
That's definitely a tough year for the Irish. I don't, you know, jab it in a little bit. That's all right. You know, I know the Irish. They love to have fun with Michigan, and I don't know how you feel about the Michigan Notre Dame rivalry, but I've always looked at that as like a respected rivalry. Like I've never really seen a lot of hate in that rivalry. I mean, the old casual,
yeah, I would
poop
say
talk back and forth to each other.
Yeah, it's not exactly Michigan,
not
Ohio State.
No,
and obviously, in the
I don't
last
even think
10,
it's Michigan, Michigan
years,
State.
Michigan,
to be
Michigan
honest
State.
With you, yeah,
but no, I'm not.
They
a
are
big
a rivalry.
Fan. Yeah, they're a definite rivalry. You can't deny the fact that it's a rivalry. I know some coaches out there may
aren't those
may
two schools
agree.
One and the same though.
They are.
I mean,
identical.
That's how I have
in
a hard
terms
time
of tradition,
right,
and everything. You know, their backstories, I guess you could say.
Yeah, you know, the two most storied programs in college football history,
right,
pretty much.
In
you
my
know?
Opinion, two of the best fight songs in all of college football.
For sure. A lot of traditions between both those programs. And I don't know, for me, I've never really considered Notre Dame one of those rivalries where...
Damn Notre Dame.
No,
I'm not a fan.
I think, you know,
I think I'm
in the minority by feeling that too, because I... You
get
know,
in a conference, you losers.
Well, I personally wouldn't let them in the Big Ten conference at this point.
Yeah,
they've turned their back too many times, and I believe hockey. Notre Dame joined the Big Ten in hockey, and I kind of had to think over that.
CHA folded and turned into.
Yeah, and I understand that, man. But you know what? Notre Dame's joined the ACC in basketball. I mean, they are officially part of the ACC in basketball.
Right.
Their football team is still rocking independent status.
Let them go there. The AAC.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. If they were, you know, they obviously they joined up the Big Ten in college hockey. If I was the Big Ten, I would have required them to bring all their other major sports along with it to help fund and produce revenue and all that good stuff. And, you know, let Notre Dame have the TV contract. Let them play on Channel 4. That doesn't bother me. Get your ass in a conference.
If Air Force goes undefeated, are they going to be in the national championship
game?
No,
man. The Notre Dame
but
rule
if Notre Dame
does not
does,
exist. Anymore.
Are they
going to
be a national championship?
Maybe.
Game? Yes.
They used to.
They proved
the Notre
that a couple
Dame...
years ago when they got demolished in the national championship game.
Yeah, it
when they
doesn't
should have
mean...
lost to Washington. They should have lost to Pitt. They should have lost to Michigan. They should have lost to State.
Was there a team that year that was better representation than Notre Dame, though?
Auburn. LSU.
I mean, you would have wanted to see two SEC teams back in the
anybody but
national
Notre
championship
Dame.
Again. See, I don't know. Look, they ran the table. They beat up on all those teams.
They did.
You know, the schedule is in line. I get it. All those programs were down. I understand that. And when it was time to show up against Alabama, they got waxed. And it was in the national spotlight. But that happens often against Alabama with many teams. And you even see it now in the playoff, right? I mean, look at what Clemson did to Oklahoma last year in the college playoff. You know, does that mean Oklahoma didn't deserve to be there?
Yeah, we're going to get into the college playoff.
Yeah, that actually, I mean, it was perfect tease. We do have some college football playoff talk coming up, and I do want to get into that. And I believe we did lay that down as question number one in our Michigan Prep to Pro Sports Talk group on Facebook. So search out the Michigan Prep to Pro Sports Talk group on Facebook. Join that. We'll approve you. We talk sports in there. You can interact with us here live on the show. That's a great place to do it. But that is one of the questions we put out there is number one, just to preview it, what we're going to talk about a little bit later on is did the NCAA finally get it right? You know, another college football playoff is upon us. It's year three entering the new system. You know, the college football national championship has always been one of the most scrutinized processes or, you know, the system in place. You know, it's always been scrutinized, right? And so they finally obviously went to the playoff system, which people have been calling for years. They started off with the four team. You know, it had been mentioned that within the next few years, you know, it would for sure go to eight. But I guess that's my question to everybody. It's 2 years in now. Another one's upon us. You know, did the NCAA finally get it right, or is the system still flawed? We chatted it up a little bit pregame. We both have thoughts on it, and we'll get to that a little bit later as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Meanwhile, you know, going back to playoff games, you'd mentioned
back to high school football.
Yeah, you had mentioned the Division I state finals game should be absolutely terrific. Two great teams, Cass Tech and Catholic Central.
Both coming in undefeated this year, too.
Yep. And Division II is no snoozer either. You got Detroit Martin Luther King taking on Walled Lake Western, D3. Surprise, surprise, Orchard Lake St. Mary and Muskegon. We've seen that book written many a time before, and this is just another chapter, and that one should be a great one. I think I don't see why that couldn't go to overtime or another last-second play. All three of those games should be terrific. And then you got Country Day in Division IV. That pretty much wraps up any, you know, Southeast Michigan teams remaining.
For sure. And, you know, the lower divisions are going to provide you great football. You know, if you go down to check out one
watch
time.
Watch those games. Yeah, go support those smaller schools. They need your money more than
look, that $10 ticket
Central,
get you in
school,
for the whole session, right?
Yep.
So go out there and catch the game before and catch the game after of the targeted game that you're going out there to watch. I mean, you're going to see some good football. You're going to see some different football. You know, it's fun to see those lower enrollment schools, and it's not bad football. Just because they're in Division VIII, it doesn't mean it's poor quality football. It just
Division just is how many kids go to your school. It's not their fault they have 14 kids in their school.
You know what? As far as I'm concerned, that just means that there's miles in between each one of their neighbors. So I'm envious over that.
Yeah, no doubt, man.
You know?
What a life.
Yeah, so a lot. Okay, so
what's
a lot of
great
football
to be played. This is one of my favorite weeks.
Which game out of those out of those
Thanksgiving
top four
football
divisions.
Games? You got rivalry week in college football, and you got the high school state championships. It's unbelievable.
And it all starts Thursday. So Thursday you've got the Lions Thanksgiving game. Friday you've got session one of the MHSAA finals.
Yep.
Saturday you've got session two. You've got Michigan, Ohio State. You've got Penn State and Michigan State, which is yet another rivalry game for Michigan State. Just seems like they've got every week's a rivalry game for Michigan State. I just don't.
And no one likes them.
You know, I actually think though it's more Michigan State doesn't like everybody.
Yeah,
else.
Yeah, yeah. I'll give you that.
That's their shtick.
Everybody
that's
versus
their
Sparty.
Right. Exactly.
Sparty versus everybody.
Right. So I think it's more along the lines that Michigan State doesn't like everybody else. And Michigan State, I get it. Michigan State's always got a storyline with a team, right? Like Michigan State, Nebraska. No tradition, no history there. But even though one team was
twice
horrible last year and Michigan State was great, Michigan State feels like something was taken from them last year against Nebraska, even though they still ended up in the college football playoff. It never hurt anything. But you know the next time Michigan State plays Nebraska, it's going to be about getting their revenge. You know, Michigan State and Iowa. Iowa defeated them a couple of times and ruined the season. You know, they still hate the Hawkeyes. I don't know. They hate it.
But
everybody.
Do they have a trophy?
Going back to high school again for the second time, though, what is the most intriguing matchup in the state finals you're looking at?
Orchard Lake St. Mary's and Muskegon. Like I said,
Division
III? Yeah, Division III. We've seen that matchup a couple times. It seems like it's Orchard Lake St. Mary's and either Muskegon, Grand Rapids Christian, or East Grand Rapids every single year.
Well, I know Muskegon's got a great player in Khalil Pimpleton up there. He's a candidate for the Hungry Howie's Mr. Football race. He's, I believe, in their Final Four selection as well.
Okay, finalists.
Actually, all four finalists for the Mr. Football Award this year are going to be playing this week. And you've got Cody White from Walled Lake Western in Division II taking on King, who features Ambry Thomas, the two-way player. You've got Detroit Cass Tech, who features Donovan Peoples-Jones, who had that great catch last week against Eisenhower.
Should be interesting to see where he ends up in February, if he commits before or not.
Yeah. Jalen Kelly Powell, his teammate from Detroit Cass Tech, just announced last week that he will be going to Michigan.
Yeah.
See if he can convince his buddy and current teammate to stay.
Michigan knows what they're doing with that one.
Cass Tech is just pumping out Michigan athletes right now. And And the fourth one, Khalil Pimpleton with Muskegon. They'll be taking on Orchard Lake St. Mary's. Now, everybody look at Orchard Lake St. Mary's, and when you look at any preview sheet, you know, any article around the state of Michigan, whether it be from State Champs or MLive, whoever else is out there, I know State Champs is one of the – yeah, the State Champs has pretty much got the high school scene locked down on all that stuff. But if you look at, you know, the articles previewing, you'll see Orchard Lake St. Mary's coming in with a 9-4 record. You know, don't let that fool you. They played a very, 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 very tough schedule, including a top five showdown with, at the time, Dakota, who was ranked number 3 in the state. They opened up with Orchard Lake St. Mary's. That was at Dakota. Dakota came out on top on that one. And, you know, Orchard Lake St. Mary's plays in that Catholic League schedule with, you know, Catholic Central, Brother Rice, De La Salle. You know,
Divine
Child, yeah, UD. And Divine Child, again, just, you know, they made it to the state semifinals. UAD made the playoffs for, you know, the second time in the last few years. So, you know, Catholic League is strongly represented.
Absolutely.
But Orchard Lake St. Mary's coming in at 9-4. Muskegon's going to be 12-1. I do agree with you. It's going to be a great matchup. I'm going to take the easy road, though, and I'm going to go with CC and Cass Tech being the premier game, just because it's something everyone's wanted to see. Ever since, really, Cass Tech beat Catholic Central in a semifinal matchup a few years ago.
There are future NFL players in that game. It's worth watching.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Not
absolutely.
Exaggerating.
Yeah.
Probably 3 or 4 at least.
Yep. So what else is going on? Where do you want to take this conversation, man?
Well, you know, we kind of, we previewed the high school football and state championships. We're kind of going that route. Let's kick things into some other big games that are happening this weekend. Let's talk Michigan, Michigan State, and maybe we'll get into that playoff talk.
That is definitely indeed the game to be watching this weekend. And I don't care whether, you know, Michigan was coming into this one 6-5. You know, I don't care if Ohio State was coming in at 6-5. This game is always the premier game of the weekend. You know, I know there's a lot of great games happening throughout college football this week. There's just, maybe I'm biased from the Midwest, but there is just no game like that Michigan Ohio State game. We were chatting it up, you know, in our pregame conversation, you know, and I know both of us are reserved about this game. I think, you know, at the beginning of the year, as good as Michigan could have been, I don't know if there were any believers out there that truly believed that they would be able to beat Ohio State or were ready to beat Ohio State. And I'm not saying that Michigan can't upset Ohio State,
especially after the way they've played against Michigan State and Wisconsin.
But I'm talking strictly week one. You know, let's pretend the season hadn't even happened yet. We rewind all the way back to the beginning of the season.
Right.
I think everybody knew Michigan was ready to take a step forward under
Absolutely.
Harbaugh in his second year. But I don't know if anybody believed that they were ready to beat Ohio State.
Right.
And as the course of the season went on, I think Michigan fans' confidence in their ability to beat Ohio State grew and grew and grew and grew. Then Spate was lost in that Iowa game.
Yeah.
It was a tough game at Kinnick Stadium.
I know you weren't too happy with O'Korn's play.
No, I wasn't. I really wasn't. And a lot of people, you know, we were talking about that, and people were saying, well, it's his first game that he has played, you know, in a long time, and the weather this and the weather that, and, you know, they're just trying to control the ball, this and that. You know, their defense won that game.
No doubt about it, and they're going to have to –
Their defense won that game.
The rest of the season's going to lie on the shoulders of the defense.
I don't know if that same result can happen. I don't know if Michigan's defense will be able to control the game that much, where it's essentially going to lead, you know, to the short field and allow Michigan those extra opportunities. I mean, Michigan had a lot of short fields situations against Indiana, right? And they were only able to capitalize on a couple of them. And their defense did the rest, right? And I think once John O'Korn went out there and had that 30-yard scramble, and that kind of act as the catalyst and fired people up.
It was late in the game, but damn, he needed that, didn't he?
He
just needed something.
He did.
He was finally comfortable. He was finally comfortable. He was able to find a hole and do what he does. He's a terrific passer who's also mobile. He doesn't look to run first, but he's kind of like, and trust me, I'm not trying to compare him to the likes of an Aaron Rodgers by any means, but I am saying you, he's known as, you know, a good passer, but finds a way to escape and pick up a couple yards.
I'll be honest with you, man. The only thing that I truly think people actually know about him is that he came from Houston.
Yeah.
But he was benched in his last year at Houston. He lost the starting job.
To who, though?
I can't remember the guy's name, but either way, you know, like he started the beginning of the 2000 and what was it? He sat out 2015. You know, he took over in 2013 at Houston, but ended up losing the starting job in 2014. Right. And I know Harbaugh is going to be able to produce
what he did with Jake Rudock.
Yeah. Sure. You can make that feel a little bit better, but I was kind of expecting John O'Korn to be able to come in and look a little bit better. And sure, maybe the wind and the weather really was affecting timing and all that stuff more than I can truly grasp. You know, I wasn't at the big house. I don't know how those winds were swirling, but I can tell you what, when you are a fifth-year senior transfer and you are in week 12 of your fifth year, you've been playing for a while. Essentially, that makes you a 6-year senior when you've got 11 games under your belt, right? Growing pains are over. And I understand he's been on the bench and he hasn't seen much game time, but being around the game and even being a coach, I know when it comes down to practices, all successful programs and teams are very competitive and push each other during practice. It's hard for me to believe that practices aren't competitive, you know, you get what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, like, no doubt about it. You're not going to play in practice like you do in a game.
Well, I really felt like
the competition
a Jim Harbaugh coach team is going to compete at such a high level, even during practice. I really thought he was just going to be able to step in and make a bigger impact. You know, and he struggled right out of the gate. I mean, they were looking at a 3rd and 17 in the second to start that second half, and they didn't even throw the ball. Look, you cannot be one-dimensional against this Ohio State team coming up.
No, and another thing, you know, I know we're kind of talking offense right now, but something that scares me about this game coming up is a man from the area, former technician, I believe.
Indeed, he is.
Mike Weber.
Yes.
Is highly terrifying.
Highly
after seeing what Worley
by
did,
Michigan as well.
After seeing what Iowa was able to do, throwing the ball out of the backfield to their running back, I don't know how we are going to have an answer for him.
You know,
I'm less worried about the quarterback situation than I am about their running back situation.
I'm not worried about Michigan stopping Ohio State. They had Peppers on spy duty.
Keeping track of Iowa's quarterback. Meanwhile, that left nobody covering the running back, and they were able to tear them apart.
You said it yourself on these airwaves 2 weeks ago, how weird of a place it is to play at Iowa, though.
Absolutely. And
I have a hard time using that one game and saying, well, look at what Iowa was able to do to us, and look what Michigan State was able to do to us the week before, you know, when Ohio State's going to do it just as bad. You know, I don't buy that. I really don't
understand. The schemes are similar. They like to use the running back out of the backfield.
For sure.
He is, even though he's a freshman, he is much more highly skilled than the likes of the other two backs that destroyed.
He's a strong kid. He's quick. I don't know if he's got necessarily the breakaway speed, you know, that your traditional Ohio State back.
No, but he's got an Ohio State
Michigan
offensive
with.
Line in front of him.
Yeah, but you know what? Michigan's got a Michigan defensive line. And that Michigan-Ohio State game, I get it. It's going to be won and lost in the trenches. But, you know,
it's going to take a special teams or defensive score for Michigan to win that game.
Yes. Yes. Where I'm nervous about this game is on the offensive end of the ball of Michigan. I worry about them not being able to pick up first downs, therefore leading to the short field for Ohio State. And Ohio State will capitalize on that. But if Michigan can move the ball, and that plays into their favor of keeping it a low-scoring game. if you're asking me, you know, I'm not going to tell people that I'm confident that Michigan can go out there and, you know, pull off a 42-41 upset, you know, or beat Ohio State in a high-scoring game. You know, even look at how good Michigan's offense was in 2006 and how they were clicking when they had, you know, Henny's last year and Michael Hart's last year, where they were.
Going to be getting something going. It's
going to be getting
exactly.
It's going to be getting the drive started. It's going to be being able to keep your offense on the field and keep your defense off the field by not just going three and out every time. And I think with John Oak, and again, look, hopefully, best case scenario, the dude was really just rusty playing in a poor weather game. You know, and he's ready to step up to the challenge. But that's what I'm saying, man. I really am nervous about if John O'Korn is indeed the starting quarterback going in against Ohio State. They cannot afford to have stalled first possessions and beginning of the drives early on. You can't get the ball at your 20-yard line, go three and out, punt the ball to Ohio State and expect to make a living and just let your defense kick in. So, no. But if they're in a – I don't – that's what I'm saying. Like, if they can get into field goal position minimum of four times, I don't think they'll have to settle for four field goals. I don't.
That's what I'm saying. If they have to, they will lose.
Sure.
Because if we're settling for four or more field goals and you want to play, you know,
you never
odds and even,
the question.
Ohio State isn't going to kick four field goals. They're going to score three out of those four times.
Who do you want to see at quarterback, Wilton Spate or John O'Korn?
Oh, I want to see Wilton Spate. No doubt about it. I want to see.
How confident are you with John O'Korn?
I
want to
see him there if he's healthy.
I mean, define healthy though. It's
can finish the game.
That,
I don't want the storyline to
that's
be.
That's going to depend on Wilton
Spate. Oh, he grabs his shoulder
no,
after that throw.
See, that's going to depend on Wilton Spate. He's got to be able to tolerate that. He's going to have to be able to take some hits. He's going to have to shake
right,
it off.
But if he has an injured collarbone, that's going to be very difficult.
Non-throwing shoulder.
Yeah, but that still hurts when you get hit by a pound lineman.
Getting hit by a 300-pound lineman hurts.
Yeah, especially when you have a hurt collarbone.
Well, that offensive line better step up and protect them.
I'm just saying, push on your collarbone.
You don't. No. See, shoulders. That's the thing. I'm the wrong person to talk to when it comes to shoulder injuries. My arm was officially hanging out of the front of my body at one point in time in my life. No.
How'd that go for you?
I wanted my buddy to put it back in so I could continue my event and my activities for the rest of the night, but they wouldn't do that.
No mas.
My night was over.
You're tapped out.
Yeah. You know, but
ref called
and I get
that
it.
One.
Look, it's a painful thing, and every time someone's going to hit it, it's going to hurt him for 7 to 10 seconds.
If that's the storyline is, and again, he's getting up slow, holding on to that shoulder, get him out of the game. That's not going to help.
Oh.
Wilton Spate at 70% is John O'Korn.
Again, goes back to that whole John O'Korn doesn't know anything about this rivalry.
Doesn't matter. He's playing.
It does matter.
He's playing the great game of football.
Look, man, I don't buy it. And if that's what it's coming down to, then pucker up, Michigan, because if that's the truth
it
of it,
it could get ugly.
It's going to get ugly.
Or the defense could go in, prove themselves.
Look, I hope John O'Korn proves me wrong.
Down.
It took Jake Rudock about 6 weeks to prove me wrong.
Right.
I hope John O'Korn can prove me wrong. But honestly, man, I have got zero confidence that Michigan can win that game with John O'Korn at quarterback. Zero. I in fact, you want a bold prediction out of me?
Yes.
Here we go. If John O'Korn starts at quarterback, Michigan will have less than 5 first downs all day.
Now that's a bold statement. I like it.
Any bolder.
I'm going to write that down.
Write it down.
So we got 4 field goals or more, Michigan loses.
And 5 first downs.
And if O'Korn starts,
look, Ohio,
5 or under in
look,
first
Ohio,
downs.
Ohio State can duplicate their victory from last year.
No doubt about
they've
it.
They've got people who do not want to go down like punks that have never lost to Michigan. And look, that sort of momentum matters in rivalries.
Absolutely.
I had
they
called it last
line.
Year with Michigan State and Michigan that Connor Cook wasn't going to go down like a punk to Michigan. And he didn't.
He did lose to Denard Robinson 9-6, though.
Was that a Connor Cook?
I thought it was.
Was that a Connor Cook
year? Or was it a Cousins? It could have been Cousins.
No, I thought that was a
Hoyer?
No, man. Hoyer was way long before that.
Well, I'm trying to think. It was
Who did my man's Cook come in for?
Cousins, I thought.
No.
I don't know. Do I look like a Spartan to you?
There was another Spartan quarterback that they gave Maxwell.
Oh, yeah, Maxwell.
Maxwell.
He was the next.
How could you forget about Maxwell?
He was the next big thing, right? He was.
Yeah.
No, he's good. He's good. Come on.
Right.
He had some success. But, you know, I want to talk about the college football playoff. We've been talking about this game.
Okay.
2-3 in the playoff. So the question that you wanted to ask everybody, Jerry Mack, is we are a couple years into the college football playoff now.
Yes.
Do you feel like they have the system to
– do they have it right?
Do they have the system to crown the NCAA football champion?
I want to know.
Correct.
Do they finally have the right system in place, or is there still flaws? That's what I want to know.
What do you think?
What do I think? I think there's still flaws.
Okay.
I think there's still flaws. I think the college football playoff has proven to reduce the amount of doubt that has gone into crowning a national champion.
It puts a level of fairness, except my problem with it is it's still a committee of random rich people determining which big top five, top four schools are going to make it.
Well, and that's the thing. You're looking at college football, and on a yearly basis, it always seems like there's three or four teams that during the year look like they could seriously contend. But then when it's time to put up or shut up, they're just completely embarrassed and ran off the stage.
And I'm going to put my Michigan card off to the side here, and this is kind of – I like to call myself – I'm not a Walmart Wolverine, even though I didn't go to the school. I'm a fan, I'm a realist. I know you don't like the Walmart Wolverine.
I hate when even people bring it up.
I know, but
– kiss my ass.
It's out there, all right?
It's not. It's only out there because people keep on talking about it.
People
know
what I'm talking
about. I've been to Michigan State games, and you know what? When I walked in through the gates at Michigan State, they did not ask for my friggin' alumni card. And my buddy that I went with, they didn't ask for his alumni pass either. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, I get it.
That shit doesn't exist. Just take it out of your vocabulary.
All right, so anyways.
You piss me off.
I'm a Michigan fan. You need to take a timeout or something. Someone cool this man off.
Jesus.
In a cold wash rag in here.
It's over here, Michigan, Ohio State week. And
I'm a Michigan fan, okay? It's no
there.
Surprise.
Yes, I'm a Michigan fan.
But I'm a realist. I like to consider myself. And when I say this, I'm thinking, okay, so the college football playoff, again, still a committee chooses the top four. Michigan loses to unranked Iowa. Washington loses to number 20th ranked USC. Michigan stays in the top four. Washington drops.
Wait. I've seen this one. Doesn't this all trail back to Western Michigan somehow?
No. It all trails back to the mighty dollar.
Oh, okay.
Who's going to bring in more money if they're in the playoff? Michigan traveling or Washington traveling?
Pretty well, don't they? I mean, I'm going to give it to Michigan, of course. Silly question, but Washington can travel well.
Sure. Not as well as Michigan, Ohio State, or Clemson.
Look, they might They might not travel to the Alamo Bowl or the Outback Bowl or the Orange Bowl or the Citrus Bowl, I mean, as well as Michigan, like those second, third conference team, those bowls that are designated and reserved for the second and third place team in the Big Ten. Sure, Michigan will travel better than Washington to those type of bowls.
Right.
But if you're talking about a
big money bowls,
if you're talking about a college playoff or a Rose Bowl, Washington's going to come strong.
Yeah, to a Rose Bowl. But I'm talking who's going to they still ain't putting more fan. If it was a Michigan Washington Rose Bowl.
Careful.
Michigan.
That's happened before, and Wisconsin was strongly, strongly represented out west. You got to, I mean, that's a short trip for those cats in Washington, man.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, Michigan is filling that arena too.
Okay, so where are you going with Washington? My bad, I started to nitpick.
It's the almighty dollar. There's still political influence in the college football
playoff.
So that's
your flaw with the college football playoff system?
Well, other than that, I do like the system. It should still only be voted on by coaches and writers, in my opinion. There shouldn't be just random, like Condoleezza Rice.
Well, I mean, no matter who you give the privilege to, isn't there going to be
some kind of bias?
Some sort of, not just a bias, but some sort of doubt about the equation and the formula that they're using. I mean, how much are they going to weight strength of schedule? How much are they going to weight head-to-head matchup?
It should be at least sports-minded people and not just, oh, this guy coached football in 1973. She worked in politics and went to Yale. Like this person,
So you have a problem more with the people that are selected for the process than the process itself.
Absolutely. But you got to start somewhere. Do I think this is the right system? Absolutely. Where do I find the flaw? It's still a bit politicized, even though Michigan, I'll take it. And another thing is there's not enough teams yet. I would like to see this thing go Sweet 16, and we would have ourselves the greatest college tournament of all times. Do you want to go by the AP poll, or do you want to go by...
Look, we did this pregame, and
I want to talk about it on air.
We can, and if we're going to do it, we're going to do it by the college football playoff rankings.
College football playoff rankings, no problem.
But be prepared for what I'm going to tell you at the end.
Yep, we only got 10 minutes left of the show, so I'll run through this.
Okay.
In the current college football playoff rankings, if we had a Sweet 16, and I know what you're going to say.
No, then don't blow. Okay. Don't spoiler alert.
I'm not
just spoiler. Do your thing.
I know
so
what
I can
you're going to say.
It. Of course you do. We talked about it already.
But I'm not going to take it away from you. It's still a great point. But here we go. College football playoff. If there was a Sweet 16.
If there was a Sweet 16.
Your number one seed, Alabama, would be playing number 16 seed, Nebraska.
And where is that play taking place? In Tuscaloosa?
Sure. First round play.
I just want to make sure I fully understand
host,
what you're thinking. For how many rounds? For two rounds?
For the first
two rounds. Until you
and
get down to the semifinals.
You get your corporate sponsors in.
Okay. 215 matchup.
215. Ohio State, Florida.
You really want to see that matchup?
Absolutely. Let's do a playoff.
Oh.
Let's see who wins. That's a great game. Michigan, Florida State. Clemson, Auburn, Washington, USC, Wisconsin, Louisville, Penn State, Oklahoma State, and Oklahoma, Colorado. And that's just the first round. Could you imagine the second and third rounds? You're looking at a possible, you know, Wisconsin, Michigan, or, you know, anything could happen. That's a terrific
Timeout. I got to call a timeout.
Call your timeout.
Aren't we essentially, this isn't even the point that I'm going to bring up yet. Okay, this wasn't the point that I was hyping that I was going to say to you. But my question to you is, isn't that essentially what we're already doing with the regular season?
No.
What do you mean no?
Because
we got an elimination game this week.
Yeah,
if Ohio State wins, they've got a chance.
If
Michigan wins,
25,
they got a chance. Any team that loses this game, Michigan and Ohio State, they don't have a chance, correct? So aren't we already doing that?
No, because if you're 5 through 25, who gives a hell?
What do you mean?
Why does it matter what you're ranked if you're not in the top four?
It doesn't. That's the thing.
Right.
It doesn't.
Right. But it would if it was a Sweet 16. If you're the 16th ranked team in the country,
okay,
it means something.
Which brings now it's time for me to mention my point of what you're talking about.
Go ahead.
So you're saying number one Alabama versus number 16 Nebraska. That matchup isn't even going to happen anyways, because where are you putting at large teams? Aren't you creating more controversy when you're leaving out the Power 5 teams?
See, I think
because you're opening up a window saying, okay, we're willing to put 16 teams in it, But isn't part of the reason why it's only four is to keep it within the Power Five conference right now? I mean, we're leaving teams. We're potentially going to see two Big Ten teams in the college football playoff this year, leaving out the Pac-12 and Big 12 champion this year. And we're talking about opening up floodgates, but still potentially leaving out teams like Western Michigan, teams like Boise State. Because I'll be honest with you, dude, on a year-in and year-out basis, Western Michigan doesn't necessarily deserve that chance to play in a top 16 game. This year, you could make an argument that they could probably hang. If they were looking at a New Year's Day bowl, very similar to Northern Illinois, and what? They played Florida State in their matchup. Is that correct? Wasn't it Florida State and Northern Illinois or something?
Sure.
I think it was a few years back when my man's Lynch was quarterback at Northern Illinois, Paxton Lynch.
No, he was at Memphis.
Memphis or Cal? Memphis?
Memphis.
All right. Northern Illinois had a quarterback that set a whole bunch of rushing yard records stuff and was able to throw the ball too. Either way, Northern Illinois ran through the MAC. They ended up getting themselves a New Year's Day Bowl, and I'm pretty sure that they competed against Florida State decent.
Yeah.
I don't know if
I mean I wouldn't be opposed.
End, but
how many conferences are there?
I mean, there's five power conferences, and
I'm not talking
about power
conferences.
Okay,
I'm
so you legit mid-major conferences that could legit put out a national champion.
You can't not include some of them. So if you're gonna say,
but that's what
I'm
saying. If
you win your conference, it's got to be all conferences. That opens up the floodgates.
And that's what opens up.
No, what causes controversy?
The
at-large bid. Why are you gonna pick at-large bids? Oh well, yeah, I know they're not, you know, they didn't make the top 15 or top 16, but man, I think this team's good. That puts politics back into it. Well, I think,
and that's what
Western should do.
That's
well,
what
I
happens.
Think Boise State.
That's what
it.
Happens when you go to any more than a 14 college playoff.
No,
that's what I feel.
No, because then the fifth place team feels like they're cheated. It doesn't matter what you do; someone's going to feel cheated. But I think if you expand it to more teams,
aren't you just opening the door for
more
teams?
It's a more fair.
See, I don't
playoff.
Buy it, man. Even if you go to an 18, the right thing to do
then
is
the ninth
to put,
team is going to be like, oh, we should be number 8. You're never going to get rid of that. If you do the top 25, the 26th place
at
team
least,
is going
at
to
least
be
with
pissed.
The four, you can make a gripe that says, you know what, you didn't even win your conference, so shut up.
You mean like what could potentially happen to Ohio State?
Yeah. If they were to
but they're the number 2 team in the nation.
Look, so if Ohio State wins
and Penn State wins,
Penn State's going to the Big Ten championship.
Yeah, and Ohio State, thanks God they don't have to play in the Big Ten championship game. Possibly lose.
I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you like this.
First round.
I'm
going to
tell you like this. Ohio State wouldn't get left out in that scenario. But if they did, too bad. So sad. You lost to Penn State.
Yeah, and then Penn State wins the Big Ten championship, and now it's Penn State, Ohio State in the top four.
Exactly. So, like I said, if that's the
your argument is. Not even a conference champion.
Right.
Going
so
to be
if Ohio
it.
State
they lost to Penn State, but
yeah,
they're the
but
number
you,
two
look,
team
you can
in the
make
nation.
A you can look. We, no matter what, if Ohio State beats Michigan, and Penn State beats Michigan State, and then wins the Big Ten championship, you can make a valid case that Ohio State is in there. But what I'm saying is, as much as you can justify putting Ohio State in there, if you were to decide to leave Ohio State out at that point, too bad, so sad. Deal with it. Penn State won the Big Ten. Deal with it. That's my whole thing with it. At least at that point, you have a chance to say, deal with it. You didn't win your Big Ten conference.
But
because
I think you're saying that anyway.
No, you're not. Because now when you go any more than four teams, you're putting multiple teams in from conferences and still leaving teams out. And
right.
that's where it becomes a dirty diaper.
But it's the top 16 teams in the nation. And not just the top teams we think should be in there. If you do an average poll result.
So you want to open it up to 16 teams, but you're not willing to guarantee a mid-major team in there.
Be in the top 16. Get rid of preseason rankings, because that's what kills teams like Western. They start the year ranked 92nd and then they run the table and they can't get in the top 15. Get rid of preseason polls.
I don't think the preseason polls is necessarily what's hurting Western
Michigan.
No,
it is, because it's in the formula.
I think it's the strength of schedule.
Do we have to talk about Notre Dame again? How many military teams do they get to play?
Different
every
system
year?
Back then. I mean, you were legit looking at number one versus number two.
It doesn't matter. If Notre Dame's undefeated, they're
the
gone.
Notre Dame doesn't. No, the Notre Dame rule doesn't even exist anymore. The whole.
You're right.
I looked at it. That was the first thing I thought of when they went to the 14 college playoff. I said, okay, what happens when. Like, do they still have the Notre Dame rule? I looked. The Notre Dame rule does not exist. That was a BCS rule.
Because the almighty dollar.
You cut out the C. It was a friggin' BS rule, if you ask
absolutely.
Me. We got a couple minutes left in the show.
Yeah, man. I just wanted to, you know, we got a lot of big plans coming up here as the year kind of ends, and we got Thanksgiving right around the corner. You know, before we get into, you know, plugging, you know, our big plans, I do want to ask you one quick Thanksgiving question. You guys can comment on the Facebook forum about it as well. What's your most overrated and underrated Thanksgiving food?
Ooh.
I know, I'm putting you on the spot here.
All right, I got to answer this quick because we got to plug this show.
Yep.
Most overrated food is the stuffing.
Okay.
The most underrated food is the biscuit.
Oh, the biscuit is
the biscuit.
So good.
So what about you?
See, I'm going to say the most overrated food item on Thanksgiving is the turkey itself. And the most underrated, see,
I just swayed you with the biscuit, didn't I?
The biscuit is
what
underrated.
Were you originally going to go with? Because you know damn well the biscuit is the most underrated part of the Thanksgiving.
This is
going to
cause some controversy. You're going to flip your lid.
What were you going to go with originally?
Stuffing. But here's the thing. My mom doesn't make no stovetop. She makes them from scratch. Stuff some in the turkey, leave some out. Oh, my gosh. Maybe it's just my mom's recipe.
See, and
you got to come by.
See, I'd rather have the stuffing with the turkey anyways. You know, like, I think the stuffing is like a little side dish. And it's the first thing, to me, it's the first thing that always goes stale first.
See, in our family, it's the first thing that you run out of.
Where the hell's the rest of the stuffing?
No, man, mashed potatoes.
Come on, Mom. The mashed potatoes in my family are the first thing to go. We don't even have time to plug the rest of the shows. We got 10 seconds. Take us out of here, man.
Hey, man, everyone enjoy the holiday. We'll be back in about a week, and we will see you then. We got big plans coming up. Check out our Facebook page. Check us out on Twitter, and we'll see you guys next time. Peace. I'm out of here.
Hey, motherfucking business here. Hey.